This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Like a long and winding road, challenges over the course of one's lifetime must be confronted. Undeniably, life has a way of taking us through so many different types of storms. Thunder and lightning, rain and hail, descending into valleys that sometimes seem so overwhelmingly deep. And due to the fog of emotions, the path of escape can oftentimes seem to be hidden. But there are ways of maintaining bright and sunny days. Oh yes, comfort that only comes when the sense of accomplishment occurs upon coming out from one of life's deep valleys. But how is this done? What is the key to the development of skills, overcoming problems, or just simply maximizing one's abilities? Stay with us as we explore this key element of how to successfully face life's challenges on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. Thanks for joining us on today's program. The subject of today's program is deliberate practice. Deliberate practice. Now, what exactly do I mean by deliberate practice, and why would I be speaking about that on the armor of God? Well, how we're going to look at deliberate practice today relates to how we're fighting sin in our lives. And as Christians, we need to fight against sin in our lives. We need to try to eradicate sin from our lives as best we can. And I believe taking in some of the characteristics of what deliberate practice is can assist us in this ongoing battle that we have with sin. Now, those of you who are Christians out there that are watching me right now, you probably have some methods, some ways in which you go about trying to eradicate sin from your lives. Some of you probably study your Bible. Do you do it on a consistent basis, though, every day for a certain amount of time? When you study your Bible, are you looking at certain subjects, or are you just opening up your Bible and reading? There's a difference there in that particular way that you study that we can call deliberate versus just regular old practice. When we talk about prayer, that's probably another method you employ to fight against sin. But when you pray, do you just get down on your knees and say, "Thank you, God," for whatever it may be? Or are you thinking specifically about individuals you know right now who are suffering something? And do you bring up those specific things that those people are suffering from? And do you ask God to guide specific members within their families or whoever it may be? Once again, there can be a difference in how we pray. Is it a deliberate sort of prayer or just a regular type of prayer? When you begin to look at this subject of deliberate practice that we will be looking at today, what we're talking about is a focused intentionality that you're bringing to whatever it is that you're practicing. And when you look at the experts in the fields of endeavor within the world, whether it is sports, whether it is business, whatever it may be, you will find that many of them employ what is described as deliberate practice when they practice their craft. So I want to bring this subject into our minds, into the forefront of how we do things as Christians, because I believe it can help us, it can assist us in fighting against the sins that we are all trying to get out of our lives. Now, some Christians may say, "Well, I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't need to worry too much about fighting against sin. Jesus has done it all for me." No doubt about it, Jesus has done it all for us, but Jesus also says in His very Word that He wants us to become more like Him. Jesus tells us through the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we need to take out the old leaven. And that old leaven represents sin. We need to rid that from our lives as best we can, and we need to do that in a focused and deliberate manner. That's what we're going to be looking at on today's program. So please sit back and join us as we take a look at deliberate practice in relation to eradicating sin from your life. Before I do any of that, though, what I want to do is offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. The literature that I'd like to offer you on today's program is titled, What is Sin? In this booklet, you will read about the fact that some people consider pleasurable activities such as card playing, dancing, and movie going to be sin. Others say sin is any behavior that society deems unacceptable. But are these descriptions in agreement with the Bible? Learn the definition from your Bible of what sin is. We also want to offer you a free full-length sermon CD on today's program. The sermon will deal with the subject of deliberate practice to a greater degree than we will be able to address in today's program. To get both the CD, Deliberate Practice, and the booklet, What is Sin? All you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast by going to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everybody. And those of you who are just joining us, what we're talking about on today's program of the Armor of God is deliberate practice. And in the intro to today's program, we gave you a little feel for what we meant by this phrase, deliberate practice. We were talking about prayer. We were talking about Bible study. And what we said is, when you go to pray, do you just say, thank you, God, for whatever may have happened good to you that day, and then that's it? That's how your prayer goes? When we say you are deliberately practicing within prayer, what we mean is it would go something like this. You're specifically talking to God about individuals in your life who need assistance in some way. You're talking about specifics. You're focusing on individuals. And that makes it a little more deliberate than just a regular run-of-the-mill prayer. When you look at the subject of Bible study, are you focusing on a specific topic? Let's say the nature of God. And are you writing questions down as you go through scriptures and are looking at scriptures relating to that particular topic? Are you consulting concordances? Are you looking at Bible lexicons? That is more of a deliberate practice in looking at Bible study than just opening up your Bible anywhere and beginning to read. Nothing wrong with that, but to be deliberate in your Bible study, you want to add a focus and an intentionality to your Bible study. You want to have a plan in mind when you go to pray. You want to have a plan in mind when you begin to study your Bible. And what we found when we look at all areas of human endeavor is people who go at it deliberately have greater success than those who do not. So we want to bring in this element of deliberate practice to our fight against sin as Christians. And I very well know that I have salvation because of Jesus Christ's death. There's nothing I can do myself to make myself a person who can be saved. I can't follow God's law to the letter to be saved. I've got to accept Jesus' sacrifice to get my salvation. But the Bible is very clear that Jesus wants us to strive for perfection. We may not reach it, but He wants us to strive for it. And in order to do that, we want to try to get as much sin out of our lives as we can, to get as close as we can to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we begin to take a closer look at this topic of deliberate practice, I want to set up what I've just addressed by giving you some examples from general life and individuals within general life who are not necessarily fighting against sin, but who have taken part in what we call deliberate practice. Now, one of these individuals you're all familiar with, it's Amadeus Mozart, one of the greatest composers of all time. And some people say that Mozart was just a genius, you know, that this guy was able to do things as a child that some adults cannot do, even though they try to do what he did. But did you know that Mozart had an advantage over many people in trying to become a great composer? When he was at the age of 3, his father began to work diligently with him to try to make him into a great composer. His father was actually a very good composer, very adept at musical instruments and music, and he stopped composing at about the time Mozart was born, and then put all his energies into raising Mozart to be an accomplished musician and composer. So there was a deliberate effort by Mozart's father to try to raise a very accomplished composer, and I believe he did a very good job in bringing that about. Mozart was able to do things at age 8 that some people at age 30 and 40 cannot do. But part of that had to do with the intensity, the focus, the deliberate practice that his father brought into his life in that particular field. Another example would be Tiger Woods, the famous golfer. He has a similar story to Mozart. Again, Woods has been called a golf prodigy. He was playing golf when he was 3 years old, if you can believe that. But he had a father who retired from the military. Tiger was his only child from his second marriage, and he put all of his energies in teaching Tiger. Now, his father also had an advantage, which was this. While he was in the military, he was a trainer in the military, and he knew how to teach people various concepts. He became a pretty good golfer in his retirement years, and he began to focus on Tiger Woods and put all of this knowledge and information onto Tiger. He made him practice deliberately, intensely, in a focused way, and we get Tiger Woods. Now, I'm not here to tell you that everyone who gets that type of attention as a child is going to become Tiger Woods or Mozart, but we cannot deny the fact that these individuals had an advantage because of the intensity and the energy that their fathers put upon them to try to make them great in those particular areas. Now, when you think about this question, a lot of research has been conducted on great violin players, great piano players, great x-ray technicians, great chess players. Whatever the field of endeavor you can think of, there has been research on what makes the great great and makes them better than the good. And what they found amongst all these various groups is the great are great because they began earlier with a focused intentionality within their practice. The very good can get very good, but they might not reach the level of the great because the great have done it longer and have put more time into the practice, the focused, intentional, deliberate practice of trying to become great at whatever their field of endeavor is. Now, if we think about this in relation to our fight against sin, I hope that we're getting some ideas in our head right now. It doesn't matter if you've come to Christ at age 30 and you haven't had that background in the church or the understanding of the Bible. You can pick it up where you are and make great inroads in overcoming sin, but deliberate practice beginning at whatever age you are can help you more so than just a regular nonchalant approach to being a Christian. Now, does the Bible tell us that this is true? Does it agree with what I'm saying about deliberate practice? I'll let you be the judge. I'm going to throw a few scriptures at you to back up what I'm saying here. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, I'd like to show you something there. And you've probably all heard about the Protestant work ethic. Where does that Protestant work ethic come from, ladies and gentlemen? Why do they call it the Protestant work ethic? Is it because Protestants are more ingenious and more into work than Catholics? I don't think so. It's because the early people who came to this country were mostly Protestants, and they had a specific work ethic which comes from the pages of your Bible. Now look at this in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. What is this one proverb telling us about the need to be industrious, the need to get off of your you-know-what and get active in finding a job or keeping a job or doing your job? Folks, we can't be lazy. We can't be sluggards. That is something you find throughout the Proverbs, and that is what deliberate practice is all about. It's fighting sin with an intentionality. You've got to discover what your sins are, and you've got to work to overcome them in an intentional, focused, deliberate way. You can't just say, that's the way I am. Some people say that, folks, that's the way I am, and they're in prison. Because they think that's the way I am and I can't do anything about it. No, you can change. You can turn it around. You can repent. And isn't repentance one of the major concepts of the Bible, that you need to turn your life around? Well, we don't just turn our lives around, ladies and gentlemen, when we commit to Jesus Christ. We continue to turn our lives around as we move forward into that kingdom of God. It's a relentless, continuous process. In Proverbs 13 and verse 4, it says this, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." If you're diligent, if you're focused, if you've got a plan, you're going to have the fat of the land, where the sluggard, the lazy person, the person that kind of takes an attitude that is not very significant, is not going to accomplish the things they need to accomplish. This has some effect when we look at our fight against sin. We need to fight it, folks, and not just accept it. Another scripture very similar is over in 15, Proverbs 15 and verse 19. Notice what it says here. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. And if you read the commentaries on this particular scripture, this mentioning of the way of the righteous is made plain, what some commentaries say is that the righteous has a plan, the righteous has a vision, the righteous has a goal that they're reaching for, whereas the slothful man does not. And that has something to do with our fight against sin. We need to develop a plan around that. We need to focus in on what our issues are that we continue to work on as Christians and try to overcome those particular issues. Now, I want to look specifically at what are some characteristics of deliberate practice. There's a book called Talent is Overrated by a fellow named Jeff Colvin. And if you get this book, he looks at this subject of deliberate practice in all its nuanced forms. And he mentions various characteristics about deliberate practice. I want to give you a few of them here today so you can begin to try to think of these in relation to your fight against sin. Now, number one, one of the things he says, or characteristics of deliberate practice, is you need to have a plan around your practice, okay? If you're going to study how to play a violin well, you need to have a plan in which to do that. And one of the best things you can do when you develop a plan is to have a coach who's going to help you develop that plan. All of the best athletes who go to the Olympics, even though they are world class, they are the best in their field, they all have coaches, folks. Why is that? Why do all these people who are endeavoring to be great in their fields have a coach? You hear about life coaches today. Many CEOs of big companies today have life coaches who are helping them establish their plan, play out their plan, and accomplish their plan. And in deliberate practice, how can we have a plan when we're fighting sin? Well, do you have someone there who's an accountability manager for you? Are you focused on one particular sin that you keep having trouble with? Tell it to a friend, someone you really trust. Notice what it says over in James chapter 5 and verse 16 in relation to this. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It says this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." When you talk to someone you can trust about that lingering sin that you're having trouble with, this is going to help you become more accountable to that sin. Try to address it and get rid of it when you've opened up to someone about it. I'm not telling you to open up to everyone, but opening up to someone you really trust can have a big difference in how you're going to overcome that particular thing. So think about that as one aspect of something that you can use in fighting sin within your life. Another aspect in deliberate practice that can help us fight sin is getting constant feedback. Now, once again, a coach, a close friend, a close relative, a husband, a wife, they can provide you ongoing feedback, as my wife often does for me. So that's a good thing. But if you don't have someone like that, use that coach, use that accountability manager to give you constant feedback. But you can even give yourself feedback on a regular, consistent basis. And here's how you could do it if you don't have that accountability manager. Let's say you're having trouble with anger. Well, get a little notebook, and at the end of each day, think about your encounters with other individuals. And write down when you were angry with a particular individual. Write it down each and every day. And you will begin to see possible patterns that are emerging as to when your anger is rearing its ugly head and when it is not called for. And as you begin to see these patterns through the feedback that you are keeping in a notebook, you will then be able to focus on this individual or that individual and determine what is it with my relationship here that is causing me anger. Once again, this is a deliberate, focused approach that you're taking. You don't just say, "I want to overcome anger," ladies and gentlemen. You want to get inside that anger and figure out what is the root cause of it. Getting feedback can help you do that. Another characteristic of deliberate practice. A third characteristic of deliberate practice is it's mentally demanding, okay? It is mentally demanding. And to keep a notebook each day, to take notes, to get feedback, to talk to somebody about your problems, this is a mentally demanding thing. But ladies and gentlemen, if you're up for being the best you can be, you've got to take that extra step, go that extra mile to try to overcome those lingering sins that you're trying to rid yourself of in your life. Another aspect, a characteristic of deliberate practice, is it's not always fun. Don't expect this to be a cakewalk. It is not fun when you are focused and deliberate and you're practicing something over and over in a repetitive way, whether it's Bible study, whether it's going to church, whatever it may be. And that brings us to another characteristic of deliberate practice. And that characteristic is that it is repeated often. It is repeated often. Tiger Woods hit thousands of golf balls. He putted thousands of balls. Mozart played various instruments to understand how all that music came together. And if you want to rid sin from your lives, you've got to study your Bible every day. You've got to pray focused every day. You've got to do these things on a consistent basis. You can't step away from it. You've got to stick with it. And when you keep your mind focused on all of these types of things, sin will begin to fall away like scales from your eyes with the Apostle Paul. It will open you up to possibilities you have not seen before if you are taking a deliberate, focused, and intentional approach to this. Now, let me give you a final example here as we begin to wind up the program. When you think of shooting a basket, I could say I'm going to go shoot some foul shots today, and that's my practice. So that's just typical practice. Or I could say this, when I go shoot my foul shots, I'm going to hold the ball like this with this hand. I'm going to put my hand on the back of the ball like this. I'm going to put my elbow into my side. And as I push up, I'm going to wave goodbye to the ball. Keeping all those things in your mind as you're shooting that ball is going to make a bigger difference than just saying, I'm going to go shoot some baskets and practice my foul shots today. That's what I mean by deliberate practice. You have a focused, intentional mindset when you get into whatever it is the practice you are trying to get better at. And if that is overcoming sin, you can say to yourself, if you're having a problem with anger, well, where do I see anger coming up for me? When is it happening, and what can I do to overcome it? Where do I see lust coming up for me? What can I do to overcome it? When I go to the beach, maybe I should take my glasses off if I'm there on a regular basis and I'm getting thoughts in my head when I leave the beach. Or whatever it may be, you want to be thinking about what is happening, what is going on between your ears when you are doing these things that you feel you should not be doing because God's Word says that is sinful. I hope you've learned something from today's program on deliberate practice. Please order that free CD titled Deliberate Practice. Order that booklet, What is Sin? 1-888-578-8791. Bye for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.